Good evening. My name is Dean Kilberg. I'll be chairing the Committee of the Whole meeting this evening. I'd like to welcome everyone. Happy holidays to all that joined us. This evening, we'll open the meeting with attendance. We have all council members except Mr. Piper present. We also have joining us this evening by phone Alderman Dantino. It's good to have you with us this evening, and that you're back in Geneva and on the road to recovery. So can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you fine.
Great.
Can you hear me?
Yep. I can hear you fine. And during the course of the evening, when there's an opportunity to cast a vote, you'll need to identify yourself as Dantino and then cast your vote accordingly.
Okay? No problem. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, the first item, consider the consent agenda. All items listed with an asterisk are considered to be routine by the City Council and will be enacted by one motion. There will be no separate discussion on these items unless a council member or citizen so requests, and in which event the item will be removed from the consent agenda and considered in its normal sequence on the agenda. We have just one item this evening. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Moved by Vogelsberg, seconded by Singer. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carries. Item four, items of business. the first item, item A, is recommend draft ordinance for the general 2011 tax levy in the amount of $4,597,063.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Mark, seconded by Brown. Discussion? Alderman Maladra.
Microphone.
Hi. So this is essentially the amendment as proposed at our meeting last week. Yes.
That's my understanding.
Okay. So I have some comments. To begin with, this is the second time in just a few months that a colleague has made the statement that something is a moral obligation or a duty. I'm going to be a while. You can sit down.
Don't call.
That something is a moral obligation or a duty. This makes dialogue a bit difficult. How do you discuss anything with someone who views disagreement not as something to consider and think about, but instead as an inclination or an indication of a moral flaw? Well, disagree I must with this motion, because I think as stewards of the public trust, we're charged with acting in the long-term best interests of the city. Sometimes doing the right thing hurts, but we need to accept that pain today to avoid worse pain 5 years from today. Some may say that the pain needs to be felt by the municipality and not the residents of Geneva. To this, I respond that we have shared in the pain all along. Over the past 2 years, we've reduced our general fund from $18 million to $14 million, a decrease of 22%. We've cut expenses, we've reduced staff, and we've deferred capital investment. I maintain that our continued deferral of capital work is putting us in a hole. The longer we put something off, the more difficult it becomes to catch up. Next year's need consists of what we had planned on for that year, plus anything we end up deferring from this year, plus anything new that inevitably arises. Defer again, and the following year's requirement is worse still. These things don't go away. Equipment needs to be replaced. Roads need to be repaired. They just pile up. I would feel more comfortable if I understood the criteria that are being applied to this recommendation. I hear the words tough economic times. Well, I ask you, what kind of economic turnaround is going to make any of us comfortable asking the owner of a $300,000 house for $10? This is what we're talking about here, folks, $10 for the entire year. We have to be clear that their the public with the public that their tax bill under this proposal will not remain flat. It will increase. It just won't increase by this $10. Does that $10 really lessen the economic impact to a homeowner? It may lessen the philosophical sting, but in terms of a budget, let's be honest, $10 a year doesn't make a difference. But the $72,000 that translates to in aggregate for the city, we could do a lot with that. It would be reprehensible for anyone on this council to persist the impression that I hear from some in the public that whatever money we raise would be irresponsibly managed. I think quite the contrary. We have tightened our belt, and we will continue to. How long do you think we can continue down this path? Do we just keep losing ground year after year until it becomes obvious that we can go no further? I hear the phrase, tighten your belt. We have been tightening and will continue to do so. I also hear the phrase, cut until it hurts. I submit that if it comes to that, we have gone too far. Taxes irritate people, no doubt, but a decaying infrastructure has the same effect on current residents as well as potential future residents. How do we reverse a trend once begun? We do have reserves, but some of you on the council will remember when reserves were depleted last time. How long did it take to rebuild them? And how long do you think it will take to rebuild them without the new development that has carried us this long? That's something that I want to make sure we all consider. The Geneva of the near future will have a very different revenue prospect than the Geneva of the near past. We're nearly at build-out and so cannot count on new development. The state has threatened local distributive funds, and the county has a policy that will cost us more still in another year and a half. So what I'm asking tonight is that we not give in to the impulse to think only of today and think only of the near-term burden that an extra $10 will cost. Instead, I ask that we take a longer-term perspective. A vibrant Geneva is an asset to each and every restaurant, each and every resident and business in the community. What effect will our action today have on the long-term value of that asset? Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Alderman.
You want to take that on, Tom?
Anyone else? If not, the floor would be open to the public. Yes, sir. If you'd please come forward and introduce yourself and your residence, your address.
My name is Russell Lefevre. I live at 1627 Kime Circle. We've lived in this community since 1999. It's a great town to live in. It reminds me of the one I grew up in my hometown of East Moline, Illinois, and I'm glad to be here. But I have a growing concern with the mindset as to where this whole budgetary process keeps going. I did listen to the comments about it's only $10, you know, it's $10. But that's not the end of it for the property owners, is it? The school board, the park district, the cumulative effect will not be $10. It will be more than that. I get concerned when I read in the paper that there was quite a debate going on, I understand, within these chambers over $80,000. A drop in the bucket was the comment in the paper. Where I come from, $80,000, even spread over a $15 million budget, is not a drop in the bucket. This thing has a snowballing effect. We gave raises to city employees who certainly were deserving it. What was the question asked? Can we afford it? We gave an additional holiday because some of the surrounding communities had it. Was the question asked? Could we afford it? Drip by drip, drop by drop, it's like a snowball. The property values go down. And there's a Machiavellian formula I think most of us are now becoming familiar with in this state, as well as probably some of the other states. The values go down, the levy goes up. The property values go up, the levy goes up. Meanwhile, the taxpayer is put in a squeeze. I'm proud to be able to stand before you yet this evening. I turned 74 this month. I'm on Social Security. I did well in industry. I'm not complaining from that standpoint. I'm extremely much better off than a lot of people sharing the brunt of what's going on today. But it's been 2 years since Social Security increase went up. I got notice that I will get an increase this year. And guess what? Medicare costs come right along with it. Net result is net gain, but 2 years, no increase. My entire working career was spent in human resources. When people asked me what that job was like, I said it was kind of like working between the dog and the tree, because the people didn't want to hear what you had to say. Management didn't want to hear what you had to say. But my point is this. During tough times, I've worked for multiple different corporations. When the word came down that we were not living within our budget, we were told, in no uncertain terms, get out the chainsaw and the axe until better times came along. We've been in Geneva since 1999. I have never seen as many open storefronts as I can see going down Main Street today. I think it is indicative. I know there are some fixed costs, but I think it's time to cut as much slack as you can at this time, because, again, what you're doing in this chamber is going to be stair-stepped at the Board of Education meeting and what follows. There is no question about it, and I thank you for listening.
Thank you for your comments. Is there anyone else that would like to speak? Yes, please come forward. If you'd identify yourself.
Michael Olison. I reside at 202 North 6th Street in Geneva. I'm the owner of Geneva Investment Group and Stockholms, and I'm a personal friend of every one of you here. I am not going to be speaking as myself as an individual, but I want to speak to you as the community at large. Being that I do know a lot of folks in town, a lot of people share with me their thoughts and their opinions. And people are frustrated right now. What they want to see, what the citizens of this town want to see, is they want to see the drastic cuts that you just referred to, Mr. Villaldra. They want to see their taxes go down. And maybe what you need to do is make those cuts so severe that they then decide what it is they truly want their government to provide for them, and then see that those services are the ones that are provided. It is a difficult choice that you guys are, you guys are the ones that have to make that choice. But people are frustrated, and they want to see their taxes just go down. We all understand the need to make the budget match. We all understand the high quality of service that Geneva provides, and this is the greatest place in this country to live. But that's what the people at large are asking for. You guys are our elected representatives. Maybe that's what you need to provide them so that then they taste the alternative of reduced services, and then maybe they will understand the position that you guys are in at trying to select which services and which not to provide. It's a difficult question. We are in difficult times, and you are the elected representatives who unfortunately are charged with making that decision. Good luck to you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? Yes, if you'd please come forward.
Dick Raff, 502 Charles. I've only been in Geneva 6 years. I love it here. I was in St. Charles before that for 30 years. I just want to kind of put a face on some of the community members. I've, The last 3 years, I'm in construction business. My wife's a real estate broker. Needless to say, by the grace of God, we're still both working. But in that time period, our household income has probably dropped at least 40 to 50%. So that's pain. I would throw a party to be able to hold even with the resources that I had 3 years ago. In that short 6 years that I've been here, though, I've seen my real estate taxes go up 25%, currently at $14,500. I feel like I've got enough invested right now. I don't need another $10, $30, or $40. We're doing with less. I'm borrowing from IRAs. We're making it work. We're staying above water. I'm asking you guys to do the same. But your pain, you guys haven't even touched the bone yet. I'll just one small example, the LEAF program. I live in a heavily wooded neighborhood. I've yet to rely on the LEAF program. I mulch my leaves to smithereens, and they're just fine. So that's just one area. That's just one little thing that I've noticed over the years I've been here. I see those trucks coming down the streets, and I go, oh, my gosh, you got to be kidding me. I guess that's it. I got it better than most. I'm still working. We're making ends meet. There's a lot of people that are out of work, but I'm asking you to hold it at zero increase or even less. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak? Yes. Alderman Vogelsberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I did want to clarify that even the proposal that we have on the table will be an increase, and reiterate that we have reduced our costs, as Alderman Maladra said, 18 to 14 million, and tried to tighten and do without and not rehire staff that we've lost through attrition, everything that we can think of. Our only difference between the city and a business is we have less money, but we don't have less demand. So we are challenged with balancing how to make sure the city services are met, how we are able to pay our non-funded mandates by the federal government, by our contractual obligations. And for that reason, unfortunately, that's why I think we have last week we had one proposal, and this week we have another. Both will raise the taxes. Luckily, we're only 9% of the taxes, but it is, I feel that the staff has just cut and cut and cut, and I think we'll continue to do so. I think it's a compliment that we are not in debt, we are on budget. And it's been little decisions here and there, but I do feel, as Alderman Maladra said, we do have to protect our investments and prepare for things like water main breaks, et cetera. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? I'll wait with you, Sam.
Fine.
Let this gentleman speak.
Yep. I'm sorry. I wanted to make one additional comment while I had the podium.
Go ahead.
Having spent my entire life in HR, I do have a question for the city council. When the negotiations come up, who does the negotiating? Is it city staff?
I'll let the mayor answer that.
Yes, sir. It's trained city staff who have the background and expertise in actually contracting with, negotiating with Fair Labor Practices Act. And
second question then is, when the negotiations are done, does the staff then get what was negotiated for the bargaining unit?
No. It's only the collective bargaining unit
but it doesn't reflect back we're negotiating against ourselves.
Oh, no, sir. Question. It's only for the collective bargaining units.
All right, thank you for clarification.
Certainly.
One other thing, I understand we spent, though, recently $500,000 for some upgrade in software.
Yes, sir.
True. Hopefully somebody really looked under the hood of that car, and did we end up with a Lamborghini versus a, I don't want a Yugo, but, you know.
We have a good, solid General Motors product. And knowing that you worked in Moline, I can cite some other.
You don't want my comment on General Motors products, Mayor.
No, we have a good, well, hey, they're turned around. We have a good, solid product that's going to serve the citizens of this community
from
very
Michigan.
Well. Yeah. But it is from Michigan, so that's good lead.
Right. Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Certainly. Thank you, sir.
Mr. Hill, or Alderman Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm very pleased that Alderman Vogelsberg brought up the point that there is going to be a tax increase if we approve what is on the table right now. And I, several weeks ago, spoke in favor of a 0% increase in the tax levy. I don't think there's a chairman's chance of that being approved, unfortunately. I have a couple years on you, sir. I made it to 77 this fall, and you're still a youngster according to my calendar. But I appreciate your comments, and Mr. Graf's, and to Mike Olison's. But I think that it's important to point out that we are going to be losing some retail stores along 3rd Street. Hopefully the sales tax generated by those stores is going to be greater than what we had last year. But who's going to replace them, and what's going to replace them? I read an article today that is a little bit scary about $1 billion of sales so far this Christmas season has occurred via the Internet. $1 billion. I wonder how many hundreds of dollars that might have affected or we may have lost in the city of Geneva, which means we've lost some sales tax, possibly. That's just a possibility. Can't prove a thing. I know that the building department in the city of Geneva has been busier this year because of people walking away from homes, perhaps, and foreclosures, and the building department has had to enforce ordinances to make sure the properties have maintained the city code requirements to sustain the appearance of the neighborhoods. So I'm still concerned about this, but I will have to settle for the proposal that we have on the table tonight, but would like to have seen it less. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Yes, please come forward.
Mr. Barclay, 1222 James Street, and like Mike, I'm a personal friend of all you guys. I also, for clarification, am the president of the Geneva Library Board, and I felt obligated to make a comment based on what this gentleman said. I promise you that when we sit in our board meetings, nothing you do here dictates what we do with our budget. Our budget is solely in the interest of the library and what the library needs. This last year, we were in a position where we could drop your tax rate. So the percentage of your tax bill going to the library went down. Not all of us can do that. Not all of the taxing bodies are in a position to do that. And you have to look to yourselves at what is in the best interest of this community. Mike and I have been around a long time. And in the late 70s and 80s, when we were in an economic crunch and there was gas shortages, I can promise you the fathers of this community did not say, we're going to worry about today. They looked to the future, and that's why we have the town we have today. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes. Please. Please come forward.
Good evening. My name is Natalie Kessman. I live at 1606 Keim Circle in Geneva since 99.
Welcome.
Thank you. One question. Is there information available as to what this levy considers in terms of salary increases for next year? And can that be made public?
Certainly. Although some of those are going to be negotiated or
sure.
They haven't been decided. Actually, as I think was stated in an earlier meeting, the process that the state of Illinois gives us is somewhat backwards in that we pass a levy before a lot of those things are actually finalized.
Okay.
We won't approve a budget until May, right? April.
So depending on those negotiations, these numbers could go up or down?
No, these numbers are fixed. These are the numbers that we have to live within.
Okay. All right.
Is that correct, Mayor?
That's correct. Mrs. Kessman and I are pen pals via email, so it's good to see you.
Hi.
Short answer to your question is the amount of money being considered tonight for collection purposes is the grand total.
Okay.
And this council, through its budget process, will allocate those monies accordingly, whether it be for example, consideration of salary,
okay,
consideration of other projects and proposals as well.
I just remember last year reading about the salary increases and how, you know, we had to do that to keep people and so on and so forth. And I retired, so it doesn't affect me, but a lot of people not only aren't getting a raise, they're getting their wages cut, they're losing their jobs. I wasn't sure about that when I read about it. I thought, really, people are going to leave in this economy just because they don't get a raise? I don't know, and I just wanted to put that out there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else? Anyone else on the council would like to speak? Alderman Singer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The question I'm about to ask, I'm not certain if it's germane to this particular topic, and if I'm out of order, please so direct me. There is, in the city of Geneva, a sales tax incentive program, and there are a number of corporations which fall into that incentive program. Is there do we have a contractual obligation with those corporations to meet that obligation on a monthly, quarterly basis? And are those figures as so structured that we cannot, in a sense, increase them to appropriate larger amounts from those programs to offset some of these costs that we're coming forward with?
I'll let Mary answer that.
If I understand the question, when the contract was agreed upon by the business entity, and there are probably half a dozen or so that we've entered into these agreements, and the city, they moved their business to the city because of the incentive that we agreed to. I think that it would be difficult to change the terms of those contracts at this point in time. Most of them have been in place for many, many years. Actually, we've retired several of them to date.
Yes.
So to suggest that the businesses take less than what was agreed to or negotiate a longer term, we most certainly are happy to ask them to do that. But I'm not certain that that would be fruitful. I'm not sure why that they would want to do that.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
If I might, just as a point of information, just because it was brought up earlier, just so that everyone knows about our LEAF program, that is not paid by city taxes. That is a user fee that's included on the utility bill. So that is not something that would come out of these funds that we're talking about this evening. So I just wanted to clarify that. Thank you.
And if the chair would allow, I just have a couple comments as
Sterling.
Well. Mr. Lefevre, you raised a couple questions. Number one, did the council consider or ask themselves, can we afford it with respect to the considered salary adjustments for the employees? The short answer is yes. In fact, there were innumerable presentations made with respect to what that effect would have on the overall budget. And granted, that was a passionate debate, no question about it. To Mrs. Kessman, my pen pal, we did feel, certainly I felt, that it was important that the amount of money set aside out of an approximate $15 million general fund budget, approximately $160,000 for salary adjustments. But please keep in mind, it was not an automatic raise. It was money set aside for those department heads upon their professional review to grant a maximum of a 2% raise to employees who deserve that. Many employees, I would assume, may have received that 2%. Some probably received 1%. Others received nothing. But it was up to the department heads. With respect to the 2% not being a lot of money, as an employee, you're right, it's not a lot of money. No question about it. But it conveyed the message to our employees who have, I believe, day in and day out, through the good times and the bad, done yeoman's work with respect to, quite frankly, being the target of a lot of criticism, undue criticism. You know, we in the council are elected to this office, and we understand that sometimes either standing up or sitting down, as it were, you know, we are in the public eye, and we have to take the heat. But the employees really should not. They make the community look good, do good, work well, and succeed. We're the ones who set the policy. With respect to unemployment, you're looking at an unemployed guy. I've been unemployed in the last 3 years for almost a year and a half of those 3 years. I, however, do not subscribe to the philosophy that because I'm suffering, everyone should suffer. So, secondly, with respect to the holiday, yes, we did, in fact, measure whether or not that additional holiday, which was the Martin Luther King holiday, could be afforded by this community. And the short answer was it was an approximate $8,000 cost to the city. It was the right thing to do. In fact, if that holiday cost more, it would be the right thing to do. It's an appropriate holiday to recognize. During the debate at this council meeting, it was suggested to one council member who chose not to support it that we should do what the holiday calls for us to do, and that is spend our time in the community or communities that we love and perhaps dedicate our time, our talent, our treasure to make the community even a better place. So the short answer, Mr. Lefevre, is yes, it was. So, and again, I was going to touch on Mr. Graff's comments as well regarding the leaf pickup. That is a user fee. We all remember that great debate of farming that out. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? Yes. Mr. Dantino, do you have any comments?
None at all. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. I take it then that we're prepared to vote on the levy as moved. We had a motion and a second. Can you please read the roll?
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino?
Ralph Dantino, aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Greg Maladra?
Nay.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Nay.
Would you please report the count?
The count is 7 yeas and 2 nays.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Mr. Okay. Chairman,
yes.
If you would mind, I made a short comment.
Go right ahead.
For those who voted for this, I would remind the citizens that this is one of two major sources of revenue for the city, the tax levy. The other is, of course, sales tax. And in this season, when we may be attracted to some offer that we see in the Tribune to drive 20 miles and see the perfect gift at a discount at some store, I would ask you to think about all the wonderful merchants and all the wonderful stores we have in town, East Side, Downtown, Randall Road, and to think that maybe some of those merchants might have an equivalent gift, and there's some added benefits. You might get to see some of your friends, some of the friends of your kids at school. The merchants, if you go in a couple of times, the merchants will get to know your name in Geneva. The clerk who checks out your wonderful gift you found may be one of the friends of your students at high school or one of your neighbors. There are a lot of hidden benefits. The biggest benefit, of course, is that the city of Geneva will get the sales tax, and that is one of our two big sources of revenue. So I think the outcome of this discussion, which was impassioned on both sides, is in this season, we wish you a wonderful Christmas season, and remember to shop Geneva because that will help us just as much as the money we're debating here tonight. So I hope we can move on from this. We're still all friends. And if nothing else, this is the great season to remember that we're still all friends in this, and please shop Geneva. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for that small comment.
Thank you, Alderman Brown. Let's move on. Item B, recommend approval request for use of public right-of-way and city barricades for Geneva Park District Super Bowl Shuffle 5K run on February 5th, 2012. Is there a motion to?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Hill, seconded by Marks. Discussion?
not, would you please read the roll?
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
The vote was unanimous. Item C, recommend approval of draft ordinance amending Title IV, adding one Class B3 liquor license for Rigonato, a restaurant at 700 East State Street, the old rib house.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Maladra, seconded by Vogelsberg.
Yeah, how was that?
Any discussion?
Dantino has a comment.
Insiders are going to hang out there.
That's good to hear.
I didn't think that was funny.
Go ahead, Mr. Dantino.
I was just wondering if it's been a long process. I think the rib house closed 3 to 5 years ago, but is there any idea when that restaurant's going to be ready to open, since they're now applying for their second liquor license, I think, or their second application is in?
Yeah, Alderman Dantino, this is Kevin Burns. The short answer is we don't know, and unfortunately the economic development director just left the room, but it's our suspicion. In fact, she might be heading over there now to cut the ribbon. But it's our suspicion that it will be in the next couple months.
That'd be great.
Yeah, that would be exciting.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Alderman Singer.
Thank you. Had a conversation with our city inspector regarding this issue just this afternoon. Indicated to me that the internal structure of the facility is about 95% completed, and the exterior is almost at that level. And he indicated to me that he was going to contact the owners to see just when they made a decision as to the opening. And they had hoped to open the facility prior to the Christmas holiday, but apparently that's not going to work. That's not going to happen. But I'm sure our city inspector will probably reveal that information to us reasonably soon.
Thank you. Anyone else? If not, would you please read the roll?
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Ralph Dantino.
Dantino, aye.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Aye.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Carries 9-0. Item D, recommend draft resolution authorizing execution of agreement with River Valley Training Consortium for police department training purposes.
So move.
Second.
Moved by Singer, seconded by Vogelsberg. Discussion. Anyone? Possibly Commander Nash, would you like to possibly comment on this?
What this is it's an organization surrounding police departments in the Fox River area, River Valley. They came together, and the idea is to basically pool our resources together. There are a lot of qualified officers on the Geneva Police Department, and from what I'm told, there's a lot of qualified officers on other departments too. Not Aww. As qualified, but qualified. We have a lot of instructors on our department. They have a lot of certified instructors in different areas, and so the train of thought is that we'll pool our resources together. It will be a cost benefit to everybody, and probably the best way to explain how we're going to benefit from this is, for example, some of the training we have to get, we're required to be certified in, for example, TASER or CPR or AED, and we have to do that yearly. Well, I can schedule everybody. I can try to get everybody through our classes, but due to schedule conflicts or other training issues or illnesses or something, sometimes somebody will not be able to make it to what I've scheduled in-house. What this will allow us to do is basically contact this training group, say, next time you have, say, TASER training, I have one of my guys who needs to go through it. So rather than having to pull one of my instructors and pay them during the time period and pull the other guy from the street and get them trained, this will just basically, maybe during the work hours, that person's work hours, I can send them to that other department's training and get them the certification they need. And that's just one of many examples of how it's going to benefit us.
This, Alderman.
I have a question, Mr. Chairman. Hi, Commander.
Hi.
Will this eliminate the cost, then, of the training? I'm not going to question you. The cost of possibly sending people out of town for training that has occurred in the past. I don't know if you've done that.
We used to go to Champaign. Under the direction of our city administrator, we don't send people overnight to classes anymore.
Okay.
We send them on day trips, basically. But I can tell you, and I say this because I monitor it, we adhere to the training budget very closely, and we're very careful about how we spend our training money.
Great.
So this is only going to be a cost benefit. It really will.
I'm sure it is. Thank you very much.
No problem.
This looks like a win-win.
Tino has a comment.
Go ahead, Alderman Dantino.
Commander Nash, I see there's no fee for this. Will this thing ultimately result in less hours by the Geneva Police Department spending with people and have more hours on the streets or doing the duties that they do?
If you'll vote yes for it, then I'll say yes. The time they would have spent getting trained is still going to be the time they would have spent getting trained. So, and you got to look at the big picture there, too. The better qualified, better trained your department is, the less likely they're going to get you into any fiscal problems.
Okay, thank you.
So can civilians get trained on Taser?
Chief Mexen,
yes.
Can...
You lost control.
I like
the
cheat
already.
Sheets, if I could.
Your point was it saved the time of the instructors, okay. Right?
Give that to your kids.
Well, when I schedule the training, say, for example, when I schedule, the CPR training, well, no, let's use the Taser training again. When I schedule that training, I have to schedule three of our officers who are certified instructors, okay, to do that training. Then I have to schedule all the people on the department, usually always trying to do it during the normal course of their day and not pay overtime. Okay, so that's the attempt. Well, what this will allow us to do, if I'm not able to get everybody through, this will allow, say, during their normal work hour, whoever I can get through, I can send them to another department that's part of this consortium, and basically it's going to save money. It really will.
This has been reviewed by our legal department, and the reference to liability that there is not any cost to join, and the city does not accept any liability of other participating agencies or officers that participate in the program.
Correct. And it would be no different than when we send somebody to any class. We cover the cost of them when they're away.
Very good.
But their certification is accepted, even if
yes.
they...
Had Alderman
to go
Singer.
To Yorkfield to get the particular course.
Yes, it is, because the trainers are still certified by whatever, the training is, whatever the state organization is.
Alderman Singer.
Thank you. Commander, it may have been mentioned, and I didn't hear.
Where is this training consortium located? Is it in Aurora or Elgin?
It was started by officers in North Aurora. And they were going to try to move it as far as meetings. I'm our representative. I'm not on the board. I'm our representative. And the meetings move around as far as the group. And so I have monthly meetings that I attend in reference to it.
Right.
But they don't let me come back if they get this signed. So.
Sounds like an admirable program. Good luck. Thank you.
Kudos to North Aurora for starting it.
Any other questions of Commander Nash? Thank you for being with us tonight.
No problem.
Any others?
Point of order, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Let's take a vote on this, then I'll bring up my point of order, sir. I have nothing to do with this issue. I have
very
something
good.
Else that I want to ask about, though.
Okay. Very good.
Order.
Okay. Does anyone in the public have a comment? If not, we're prepared to vote. We have a motion and a second. Would you please read the roll?
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Ralph Dantino.
Ralph Dantino, aye.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Aye.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Craig Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Dean Kilberg.
Aye.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg.
Aye.
All right, now point of order, Mr. Chairman.
The motion carries 9-0.
Is there some problem with our connection with the Internet here? I'm having a notice occasionally.
Yes, the Internet connection has been turned off for all public meetings until further notice. In compliance with and protection of all of us in light of new Illinois statute, we think it's best that the Internet connection remain off during public meetings simply because of a habit of correspondence during the meetings, and we think it's best for the protection of this body and the transparency for the community.
I can understand that. I just wish we'd have been notified. I never did make any connection myself, but but I'm just was a little bit surprised that we were getting this little blip once in a while, and it had a tendency to keep me awake. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
To put that in the vernacular, Mr. Mayor, I believe that means we cannot send nor receive emails during the course of a meeting. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Thank you. I believe that makes sense. Thank you.
Okay, item E, recommend draft ordinance adding Chapter 18 to Title 4 Business and License Regulations regarding pedicab operations. Many of you are aware that in Geneva last year we had operating Prairie States pedicab. And is there any comments on this agenda item this evening?
You still need a motion.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'll move approval.
A second.
Alderman Hill moves, seconded by Marks. Discussion? Anyone in the public would like to comment on the pedicabs?
I didn't get to try it. Did anybody try it?
I didn't.
Didn't they show up?
But they were here a few days.
Oh, good.
If not, we're prepared to vote. This is going to take a voice vote on this. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carries. Unanimous. Item F, we have recommend request for Plan Commission public hearing on proposed zoning text amendment in I-1 Light Industrial District.
So moved.
Moved by Vogelsberg.
Second.
Seconded by Singer. Mr. Unch might elaborate a little bit on the ordinance.
Yes. This is a text amendment that's being proposed by staff.
Public hearing, excuse me.
Yes. And the reason for the request being brought forward to you for consideration for public hearing is that we have experienced over the past several years periodic requests by individual businesses or property owners to amend the I-1 Light Industrial District to allow businesses in that district that are not currently allowed in that part of our zoning regulations. And these requests take the form of some light industrial, non-industrial uses that are really compatible with a light industrial business environment. When we talk about light industrial, we're talking about an environment that's suitable for industrial activities that doesn't pose any hazard or direct impact on surrounding businesses and properties. So over the past several years, kind of piece by piece, we've allowed things like health and fitness clubs, athletic training facilities, catering facilities, and we have several locations, for example, on Gary Lane, on Stephen Street, out in our Geneva Business Park, where these locations are really locations for businesses like these businesses we're seeing, where they may not be a retail entity, but perhaps it's a commercial entity that needs some warehousing space or that needs office space, or maybe it's a facility that requires a taller clear ceiling height than what is typically available in a retail location in the downtown area or on Randall Road. And also, some of these uses are just uses that really don't have a home in our business environment in our other districts, but you know they really need a location other than the higher priced retail space in town. So, and we have some uses already in the light industrial district. Just listed here, we got medical and dental clinics, business and professional offices, radio and television studios, although I don't think we have that many of those in town, veterinary hospitals and clinics. So we already allow some of these non-light industrial uses in the zone. And so the purpose of the amendment, we've gone through on a staff level, taken a comprehensive look at this to try to get away from every few months having to discuss an amendment to the text of the ordinance. Let's look at it comprehensively, and so we put together a list of uses that we think can be laced into the I-1 district that would be compatible commercial uses that that could fit that environment, and we're recommending that the Plan Commission and the Council consider that amendment.
Thank you. Is there any questions of Mr. Unch? Alderman Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We've almost doubled the length of the list. It seems that somehow we're getting to the point where we're trying to specify too many details, and would it not be better to just somehow establish an overall description that would fit all of these and more that will come up in the future? I understand the problem here that there is still, even though if I invent some kind of a new business 10 years from now that we cannot even imagine, there's still the ability to come forward and present it.
Absolutely.
But at some point, this list is becoming almost silly. Well, I notice you've taken buggy whip makers off the list.
I beg your pardon? Back.
Buggy whip makers? Anyway, no, the point is this list is going to be continually evolving. Is there no way to specify it without having to go into detail?
Well, we have a zoning ordinance that contains these allowable uses in each of the districts. And those allowable uses reference back to an intent clause that's tied to each zoning district regulation. I think it's in the community's interest from the standpoint of protecting the rights of property owners around these industrial locations that there be a clear communication within the zoning ordinance of what's allowed in those districts, because industrial uses can have adverse effects on surrounding property. So I would take the point of view and maybe answer the question just by stating I'd be less concerned about the length of allowable uses in the zoning district and focus more on the intent of the district and making sure that the uses that we do allow in that district are consistent with that intent.
Well, I just noticed Watchman's Quarters, and that sounds like it's somewhat similar to a buggy whip maker.
Yeah, that's an old carryover that's been in our ordinance for many years, and we could probably delete that, you know. But we're focused in this amendment on the uses that we think have a place in these industrial zones, particularly the incubator type businesses that are just getting started, the smaller businesses, and those businesses that need space that doesn't necessarily fit into a prime retail location.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Anyone in the public like to comment? Thank you. I take it we're prepared to vote. We have a motion and a second.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino?
Ralph Dantino, aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Thank you. 9-0. Item G, recommend approval of the 2011 Strategic Planning Workshop Report. The Council received in your packets the updates from the Strategic Planning Workshop held on November 5th. Is there anything anyone would like to add? Is there a motion to approve the strategic plan report?
Second.
Moved by Singer, seconded by Maladra.
Any Mr.
discussion?
Chairman?
Yes.
Dantino, I'm going to abstain since I was not at that meeting.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Okay, let's simply have a voice vote. Or I'm sorry,
excuse me.
Alderman Flanagan.
I wasn't at the meeting, but I did read the packet, and I agree with what was outlined in the document, so I will be voting for it tonight.
Good. Okay, we'll just simply have a voice vote. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Abstain. Ralph Dantino.
8 yes, 1 abstention. The next item on the agenda would be the recommended approval of revised strategic plan for the 2017 document. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second. By Maladra, seconded by Marks. Any discussion? Okay. If not, I think we're prepared to vote. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? 9-0. Okay, item I, recommended draft resolution authorizing execution of revised and reestablished boundary agreement between the City of Geneva and the City of Batavia. Is there a motion?
Move approval.
Second.
Moved
second.
By Singer, seconded by Flanagan. some comments on this might be in order.
As noted in my memo, the 20-year agreement that we had with Batavia regarding the boundary agreement, which follows Fabian Parkway for the most part, is coming to an end on the 16th of this month. In discussions with Batavia, we felt that it would behoove both communities to reestablish that agreement. The only change, obviously, is an additional 20 years to the agreement that is currently in place. It's technically a reestablishment. We had wanted to extend it, but because of scheduling differences between the two communities, it ends up to expire on the 16th and then be reestablished on the 19th, assuming that it would be formally voted on, the 20th. Assuming that it would be formally voted on at that time. The only other change is the inclusion of the ability to provide, sell, if you will, electric to the other community. Right now, we have the ability to provide water and sewer services to each other in the boundary area, and we thought that it would make sense to include the ability to purchase electric from each other if we so choose. So that just gives more flexibility, not mandating that anything has to be done. Otherwise, all of the terms of the agreement are the same as they have been for the last 20 years.
Thank you. Alderman Flanagan?
Yeah, hi. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Mrs. McKittrick, is that, does, that doesn't in any way I don't even know how to say word you the word violate, but I know that when we're talking about providing electricity outside of the district, does that have anything, any bearing on the regulation that we're supposed to be following?
It would be in conformance with state statute.
Okay, good.
We would have the ability to purchase power from Batavia and sell it within our boundary to our own customers is what we're talking about. So we're talking about the ability to purchase and service electric, water, sewer.
And vice versa.
And vice versa.
Okay. Any other questions?
Alderman Dantino.
Go ahead.
Mary, do we have these agreements with any other cities like St. Charles or West Chicago?
We do with water and sewer. We actually, St. Charles and the City of Geneva actually have reciprocal agreements where we provide one service or the other to each other's customers right now.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone in the public have a comment on this agenda item? If not, let's take a roll call on that.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino?
Ralph Dantino, aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
9-0. Okay, that brings us to item 5, new business. Is there any new business to come before the committee of the whole? Alderman Flanagan and then Alderman Singer?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I wanted to ask a further questioning
a question about the internet capabilities. Are we also going to be leaving our cell phones so we don't text during meetings?
I would highly recommend it.
I mean, leaving it somewhere, or you know,
I think you
like
should all
our
give
guns
them to me so I can read your texts.
No, I was just
if
wondering
you want
if that.
For you.
Yeah, no, I
was
personally
just wondering
I think it's a good
if
idea.
That was going to
I think it's a good idea.
The next step.
I'll defer to the council on that. So
I was just wondering if that we were going to address that issue too, because
you say the word and I'll support it. So.
The word, I guess.
So support it.
Well,
that's
can
a
I?
Beetle. That's a Beatles song.
Alderman. I'm sorry. We've got Alderman Singer here that asked first,
yep.
Then we'll go to Alderman Vogelsberg.
Alderman Vogelsberg, is this in relationship to Alderman Flanagan's request?
Yes.
Please.
Alderman
I defer
oh,
the
you,
floor
Alderman.
To you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I was just going to say it's the new statute is that anything is FOIable, right? All I was going to say is sometimes I'm the only parent, so I would like to have my phone to text. Believe it or not, my teenagers have no opinions about anything I'm voting on here. So that would be the only thing. Because once I was here, my kid had a flat tire out in Mill Creek. So,
it's a dangerous neighborhood out here.
We let them have friends on the.
I guess we can make exceptions. We can make exceptions for moms.
Really, they don't care. They forget I'm here, I think.
Whispering in each other's ear is not yet FOIable.
Mm-hmm. Alderman Singer.
Will be.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Council members and staff, I placed on the dais a brochure entitled Call and Ride. I had the opportunity to be part of this program this morning and took the first ride on this vehicle. It was very exciting. And what it deals with, of course, is a program which encompasses St. Charles and Geneva. And if you want to seek out more information, the number is 630-379-2452. To give you a capsule of really what the program entitles, it's what they've done is they realigned Route 801, the Elgin Geneva, to provide service to the areas of high population and employment density along Randall Road. They've also terminated Route 802, which is the Aurora State at the Geneva Metro Station. And what they've done now is they provided Geneva St. Charles call and ride to replace the eliminated fixed route segments with increased services. Now, what these services will incorporate is to they enlarge the area of Geneva, St. Charles, north to the bounded by the Union Pacific Railroad line on the north, Kirk Road on the east, State Street, which is Route 38 on the south, and Randall Road on the west. This service will begin providing to the Kane County Judicial Center on certain trips. And all you need to do is call, and it's a curb-to-curb service. And there's a fee. It's $1.75. And if you are finding your way here to the Geneva train depot, and are in need of transportation from here to Aurora, you can then seek those buses at that point in time, and you'll be given a transfer for you to be allowed to ride on another vehicle to your destination. And I think it's a well-deserved service, and I'm looking forward to hopefully it'll be a successful one. So if those of you that have an interest in seeking out a better means of transportation in and out of our community, please seek the service, and it'll be available to you. Now, bear in mind, this is not the Ride in Kane program. Ride in Kane program is totally autonomous of this program. This is the Call and Ride program. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you for sharing.
Mr. Chairman, Ralph D'Antino.
Go ahead, Mr. D'Antino.
I just want to say that it's happy to be back at the meeting, even though it's via phone. And after a longer-than-expected stay out east, I'm happy to be back in Geneva, as somebody had said before, the greatest place in the world to live. And I want to thank everybody for their cards and well wishes from the city and the city council and everywhere in the city. I really appreciate that, and it helped me get better quicker. Thank you.
Thank you. You have been missed, and it's good to hear your voice and to have you back in Geneva. It's welcomed, and we wish you and your family the greatest holiday ever.
Thank you.
With that, we have upcoming meetings. A special committee of the whole meeting will be held on Tuesday, January 3rd, 2012. And before the adjournment, we will have a special meeting of the City Council immediately following. With that, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Mark, seconded by Flanagan. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. And we'll be moving into this special meeting in a minute or two, I assume. Officers.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry for the loud gavel, folks. I know that we're all interested in getting out as early as we possibly can, so I have added 13 items to the council meeting.
What?
And we just have one item to cover this evening, which is great. I invited Mr. Kilberg to stay here and conduct the council meeting, and he said, heck no, man. So, Alderman Dantino is still with us, I presume?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. We have one item, and that is, first off, let's show the record show that all the aldermen save four. Alderman Piper are present. Alderman Dantino is joining us via the magic of telephone. Alderman Singer has apparently left for a drink. We have one item. That item is to recommend approval of Ordinance Number 2011-65 for the general 2011 tax levy in the amount of $4,597,063.00.
Second.
A motion by Hill, a second by Alderman Marks. Any comments regarding this matter? Anyone from the audience? Madam Recording Secretary, please take the roll.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino?
Ralph Dantino, aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Greg Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Motion passes with 9 affirmative votes, 1 absent. If there's no other business for the benefit of the council, apparently there is. Alderman Marks.
Moved to waive the fees for this meeting?
Well,
yes. Second.
A little fiscal conservative. Well done.
Finance.
Well, do you want to second that, Vogelsberg?
No, second it.
Oh, well, she can first it if she wants to. I will defer and I'll second.
All in favor of waiving the fees, as recommended by Alderman Marks and seconded by Alderman Vogelsberg, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Where's the enthusiasm, Ralph?
Aye.
So loud.
Motion passes 9 affirmative votes, 1 absent. Alderman Marks?
Just one question. Yes, can we confirm what day the meeting is next week?
It is Tuesday, December 20th, okay. And that reason is simply because I'll be traveling, and I do apologize for that. So, but I will be back early in the morning on the 20th, so looking forward to seeing all your bright, sunshiny
faces. I just wanted to confirm it so that there was no...
It'll be Tuesday, December 20th.
And then we don't have a meeting between Christmas and New Year?
We have a meeting on the morning of the 25th.
No.
Are you playing Santa Claus?
Only if you give out gifts.
I'll give out gifts.
Who's the fattest in the council?
Person from Batavia, right, Chuck? Motion to adjourn is in order.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Kilberg, seconded by Hill. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Great. Ralph, welcome back, sir.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Good night.